Hi there. You're listening to the Voice with Action podcast. I am your host, Deb Balico.
And I am Rebecca Pratt, co-founder and president of Orphan Relief and Rescue. Tune in to be awakened and inspired to take action towards what you were created to do in this world, to live fully alive.
Hello, and welcome to the Voice with Action podcast. I'm here with Rebecca, and we are doing a part two to trusting God with our dreams. So in the previous episode, we were talking about how God places dreams in our hearts, but we are then supposed to surrender them back to Him because His timing is perfect. And if we act on our own strength or like kind of fulfill it on our own, that is when we can get out of sync with God and ultimately mess things up. So it involves relying on Him and learning to trust in Him.
Yes. And you heard last week how I had to learn the hard way by trying to pursue some dreams that weren't God's timing. And the Lord made it very clear that I was to lay it down, lay it at His feet. And God had to teach me a lot of things through that. But in that, when it was His timing, which is always so perfect, He did bring Orphan Relief and Rescue into existence that I had laid at His feet, wasn't looking to live out that dream after I laid it at His feet, and yet He resurrected it and did something beautiful with that. So I know, Deb, you have your own dreams that you've had to relinquish back to the Lord, and then things that He has brought into pass as well. But I would love you to share what the Lord has just taught you through this whole process of dreams. What do you do with these dreams when He gives these dreams to you?
Yeah, the first one that kind of came to my mind has to do with me even working for Orphan Relief and Rescue. So it probably started when I was a teenager. I had a real heart to study French, and I didn't want to go to France. I wanted to go to West Africa, and I had no idea why. I didn't even realize how many countries spoke French. I just had this real burning desire to go to West Africa. And so I studied French, and it wasn't until, you know, I had gone to college, I had walked my journey of really questioning God, making my faith my own, making so many mistakes, and the Lord being so patient with me and ultimately revealing to me His unconditional love for me despite my poor choices. And so that wasn't until I was in college, and I was so in love with Jesus. I was just wowed by, who are you, Jesus? I want to pursue you more than anything else. And so I had this opportunity to go on Mercy Ships, and that's where I met Rebecca. This was back in 2004. I was a volunteer on the ship. They kind of had like a discipleship program, and I joined. And in that 9 months, the Lord really rocked my world of reminding me, hey, you had a dream to go to West Africa, and this is part of the fulfillment of your dream. So I was with Rebecca. I remember visiting that very first orphanage that she talks about in her first book, where the children were dying, and being shocked. And I was not a part of the miraculous provision that God provided for that orphanage, but I was still there when the Lord began these dreams to fulfill her own dreams in her own life. So I was more taking a back seat, more of an observer. So when I went home at that time, I got really physically sick. And it was really a season where the Lord had to rebuild my identity in Him. And every single day, all I had strength to do was to go to work. And I would come home every night and just weep and cry, you know, dig through scripture and be like, God, why? What are you doing here? Why am I experiencing this physical suffering? Because I was always so filled with life and loved adventure and having the freedom to live life to the fullest. And all I had strength to do was read my Bible. And so it was in that season the Lord was building my identity in Him. But at the end of that season, I was approached by the founders of Orphan Relief and Rescue, and they were starting this team to go to Liberia, West Africa. The person that called me was like, I really feel like the Lord is telling me that you will be working for Orphan Relief and Rescue. And I said, that's great. I'm really glad the Lord told you that, but He has not said that to me right now. I have just spent the last 3 years of my life learning the voice of God and spending time with God. And He will share with me, He will speak to me if it's my time to go to Orphan Relief and Rescue. And so I took this little personal retreat it was a Christian retreat center. It was a monastery, and I took there and I was asking God, seeking God. I was fasting, I was praying. It was 3 days, asking God, can I leave Virginia where I'm living? Can I leave here? Can I, join Orphan Relief and Rescue? And the Holy Spirit really spoke, like it was voice in my head that was not my own, that said to me, it would be disobedient for you to leave Virginia right now. And even those words, like, just were kind of shocking to me, like disobedient. Wow, that is very strong language. And so I was like, okay, clearly I am not supposed to leave Virginia. If, Lord, you want me to work for ORR, it is not right now. And little did I know that that weekend was when I met my husband, my future husband. And if I had left and not been obedient to God and had gone to work for Orphan Relief and Rescue and fulfilled my dream on my own, because I was like, I've always wanted to work and serve people in West Africa. And if I had fulfilled that dream on my own, I would have missed my husband and my children. And after we got married, we ended up moving to Seattle for my husband to go to grad school. And that's when Orphan Relief and Rescue approached me again a second time. And so this was in 2012. So ORR started in 2007. So this was 5 years later. They approached me again and said, okay, now will you come work for Orphan Relief and Rescue? And at that moment, I was like, yes, now is the right time. I feel at peace. This is the timing. So as I reflect back, it's interesting because the person that first approached me and asked me to be a part of Orphan Relief and Rescue, he did hear from the Lord. He said, I know you're going to work for Orphan Relief and Rescue, but the Lord had to tell the same thing to me, and I had to surrender to his timing, and I had to wait for God's time, because if I hadn't have waited for God's time, I would have missed so much. I would have missed so many other things that he wanted for me and through my family. And so now married for 15 years, absolutely wonderful. And I have 3 children, and it's a gift. It's a gift.
Beautiful. I love it. Yeah, just learning to hear the voice of the Lord is so, so critical. I have a lot of people obviously ask me to in my speaking, how do you know it's the voice of the Lord and not the enemy? And I, have to think back because it has become so natural now that I zero in so beautifully now where I can hear the voice of the Lord so clearly. And there's a scripture that's in John 10, 27 through 28. It says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. And I love that he says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them, because it is learning to listen to those promptings of the Holy Spirit, learning to listen to the voice of the Lord and getting in the habit of listening. For me, when there are these big things that we have to do, those are the times where I literally do take time to really seek the Lord. The common ways that the Lord speaks to me personally is, obviously through the Bible. I just dig into the Word of God. He speaks through creation. When I go for a walk, I see the beautiful creation all around. He speaks through people. Like you had said, this person called you and said, hey, I know you're supposed to work for us. And you're like, well, I'm not hearing that yet. Mm-hmm. Took 5 years, but he does speak through people as well. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we have to determine. Is this the Lord or is this just me? Or, what is this? And so I love how you did take that serious and you really did seek the Lord and knew that the Lord was saying, no, this isn't the timing. This isn't me right now. But you surrendered that. And in that, I love that story of you a week later, starting to figure out you're dating somebody who you're actually going to marry. And mm-hmm. And then the other ways is that he speaks through music, worship times with the Lord. There's times where he's just speaking to our spirit. And it's just learning these different ways to hear these still small voices of the Lord speaking to our heart. With that. And, for you, Deb, how was it? Was it an impression that just came to you when you felt like the Lord said, no, this isn't the timing and it would be disobedient? Like, what did that feel like?
Yeah, it was a multiple step process, but it was a lack of peace. Like the moment I received that phone call, you would think, oh my goodness, my dreams are fulfilled. I've always wanted to go work in West Africa, and here's an invitation. But when I was received that invitation the first time, I just felt this dread and this peace and this heaviness on my shoulders. And I thought, I cannot accept this invitation that I thought this is what I've always wanted. And I didn't understand why. And so I was like, I need to listen to this lack of peace and this heaviness, because there's many times in my past where I hadn't listened to that and, you know, ended up being harmed, you know, as a result. And so I just really wanted to listen to that heaviness. And then that's the reason, the catalyst for why I took that personal retreat, was really like, I need to step away, which I know you've talked about too in your book, is when you're making an important decision, you just need to step away and spend some alone time with God and just sit in a quiet place. And so for me to do that, I went to this retreat center where I knew I could, you know, just be out of my normal home, because if I was in my home, I'd be distracted by things around me that needed to be cleaned or whatever it might be. So I stepped away, took a retreat, and that's where the Lord clearly, like, it was like a voice of God in my head, thoughts that weren't my own, that said it would be disobedient if you left. So that was just confirmation. And then also looked at scripture, and there were different prayers that I was praying that weekend that the Lord was choosing to answer those prayers through scripture. And so much of it was trusting and waiting and being patient. And so that also, the Lord spoke to me then through scripture as well, confirming that no, now is not the time, you need to wait. And I didn't know why, I didn't have an answer. And it wasn't until 5 years later that the Lord was like, okay. So then when that invitation came again, a second time, I just felt this absolute joy and peace and fulfillment.
That's really good. Yeah. The agitated spirit is what I say. When you have an agitated spirit about something, you need to pause, stop, and say, Lord, are you agitating my spirit because I'm not supposed to walk forward with this? Are you agitating my spirit because maybe it's an attack of the enemy, you know, that's putting fear in my head and keeping me from doing it? Like, what is that? And I love how you said, you know, you just took your time to spend time with the Lord, set apart your moments away from the normal home life, and ask the Lord at that time, you know, Lord, what are you saying for me in this? Yeah, I think, you know, we're each faced every day with different decisions. Some decisions are big life decisions. Some decisions are just little everyday things. Mm-hmm. But it is walking forward and having that peace that surpasses all understanding, that guards our heart and our mind in Christ Jesus, that scripture that says that. And I really do, like, if my peace is disrupted, I'm paying attention. And I'm like, okay, Lord, is this, I just don't feel right about this. Mm-hmm. And it's that agitation that I really listen to. And a lot of times those agitations are the Lord shutting down something, saying, no, that's not the door to walk in. I'm agitating you because it's not me. And so then I shut it down. I lay it back at his feet. And then I tell him, okay, Lord, you resurrect this when it's your timing. You tell me when to move forward when it's your timing. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to try to make this certain thing happen on my own. And so it is, it's learning to listen carefully to those agitations or to the peace. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you listen to the last podcast where I talked about trying to start the adoption agency, mm-hmm. I wasn't even asking the Lord for permission. So I wasn't getting agitation or peace. I wasn't getting anything. I was just full blown going forward with mm-hmm. my plan. And I wasn't looking to the right or to the left. I was just going forward. And it wasn't until the Lord shut it down through, obviously, allowing me to get a migraine headache that I couldn't move and I couldn't function. I couldn't move forward with that plan, that he got my attention. If you haven't listened to the last podcast, do listen to it. But mm-hmm. it's sharing how the Lord really spoke clearly that I was trying to pursue this dream without his permission. This time, going forward with the orphanage situation in Africa, years later, I had that fear that it wasn't me. It wasn't me. Oh, Lord, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. And the Lord is the one that pushed me, gave me sleepless nights, because I was so, like, walking in fear that I didn't want to touch it because I didn't want to do anything outside of God's will. But then when I finally surrendered it, Lord, if it's you, I'll do this. Then complete peace. Not only did he fulfill, there's four things that I asked him to fulfill if it was him that he fulfilled that next day. But then I had this peace that truly guided me in all of it. And it was insane peace because I didn't have any money. I didn't know how he was going to work anything out. Mm-hmm. It was sheer blind faith of, okay, Lord, if this is you, it's you. And I'm walking forward. So it is that peace, Deb, that you're talking about, mm-hmm. that you just have when it's the Lord.
Yeah. And also still pursuing that peace, even in little decisions. You know, we've been using examples of really big life decisions, you know, that kind of change the trajectory of our futures and the work that we do today. But I remember a mentor of mine teaching me kind of the gift of being able to say no, especially in ministry. You know, I'm a natural leader. People tend to ask me to lead a lot of various things in church and ministry, but really asking the Lord, do you want me to do this right now? Yeah. Because if I don't feel at peace about it, then I am literally stealing someone else's blessing who is supposed to fill that need. So the church, for example, has a need. They need a volunteer here. If I step in and lead this small group, even though I'm a little reluctant, I'm like, yeah, I could do it. You know, I have the capability to do it. But if I don't feel at peace about it, then the Lord wants to raise someone else up to lead that small group. And I am literally stealing their blessing and their opportunity to learn through leading that small group. So I think that's important to have that guiding peace, even in whether the decisions are big or small.
That's really good. Yeah, I think gauging, that's how I live my life now, is I really gauge if I don't have peace and I have anxiety and I just, there's all kinds of stuff going on, I have to stop and I say, okay, Lord, what is this coming from? Where is this disrupted peace coming from? What's the root of it? And sometimes it's the Lord showing me that I have unforgiveness towards somebody or something else. But sometimes it's that, okay, you've taken on a little too much here and you need to relinquish a few things so that you could get back that peace. And it's like, oh, okay. So I need, you know, Tuesday nights to be free so that I can just spend time with you Tuesday night, you know, whatever it may be that is causing this disruption in peace are what we really have to listen to. And this is what I would say has been a huge lesson to me in my life of wanting to be walking in that peace. I've been reading through the book of John again. I love reading over and over, honestly, but John 15, where it says, I am the vine, you are the branches, and you cannot do anything apart from me. And that whole like linked arms with him, when we try to do stuff just because it's good, but it's not the best and the highest of what God has, that peace is disrupted. And we have to get back to that peace. I'd say protecting that peace at all costs, because that peace is walking in this perfect will of the Lord point of life. And so, yeah, it is. It's a learning thing. We're learning every day. And for me, it is the peace that you talked about. Mm-hmm. Gauging that peace is how we really determine if it's the Lord or not. And sometimes it is the enemy that we have to decipher, is the enemy trying to put fear, because fear is a huge thing. That's a whole nother podcast that we could talk about with fear. But yeah, finding that peace with the Lord in his highest and perfect will, walking in the best, not just walking in the good, but choosing to walk in the highest of what God has for us, is where my life, and I see how you are striving for that, and how I love how, yeah, it's protecting that peace at all costs, which is walking in the sync with the Lord in God's highest and perfect will.
You can still feel peace and have suffering around you, or still have chaos, you know, around you. Absolutely. But you can, it's supernatural. That's why it's the gift. You know, it surpasses understanding. Well, how can you still feel peace when there's chaos? You know, things that are out of your control, ultimately.
Yeah.
Can you still trust that God is in control when everything around you looks out of control?
Absolutely.
And so it doesn't mean that your life is easy, yeah, and looks, you know, peaceful. Yeah. It's more of that you are at peace because you're trusting, yeah, in God. And yeah. A question I do have for you, Rebecca, you know, as your coworker, when we travel together to Africa, how do you discern when to act when you see suffering and when to not, and like wait on the Lord? Because we see so much. I mean, we're bombarded every day. You know, someone has a wound that's festering, you know, and it is a moment of discerning. Do we help this person immediately and take them to the hospital, knowing that there's a ripple effect that every single person could then come to us with their wounds, you know, hoping that we take them to the hospital? You know, that's just the first example. But I'm wondering, how do you discern in the moment when you see so much suffering?
Yeah, I do take a pause with the Lord in my mind, and I say, Lord, do we touch this or do we not? Now, obviously, if it's an emergency situation, well, even then, though, even the emergency situations, there's sometimes, like, I had a little dying child that was 8 months old and only weighed 3.7 or 4.7 pounds, which is unbelievable. That's like a preemie as an 8 month old. And literally, she was taking her last breaths in my arms. I wanted to whisk her off to the hospital immediately, but I felt that small voice of the Lord that said, don't do it. And I was like, what? I need to take her to the hospital. She's going to die. And the Lord was very strong to say, no, do not take her. And I literally had to wrestle with that. And I thought, okay, she's going to die. This is one that the Lord is going to allow to die. And that's a whole nother story. That's in my second book, Inspired to Live an Extraordinary Life, that God did a miraculous thing with this little girl, literally used that little girl's life to transform a whole village, which that's a whole nother story. And so it's listening in the moment to those promptings of the Holy Spirit. And those things don't come naturally, but it's literally pausing in the moment, not getting swept into the, I'd say, the chaos and craziness of that moment, and literally quieting your heart to say, is this what I'm to touch? Mm-hmm. Is this yes or no? And the Lord literally gives this peace or this agitation again. So like this little girl that was dying in my arms, and the Lord was like, no, I knew that was the Lord. And I was like, okay, I surrender that. And I left. And then the Lord gave me a whole plan of action in my head to have one of our team members take her to the hospital and train the mom and the daughter in how to take care of their baby. And it ended up being a whole teaching training for the whole community. And it was just incredible what God did through this little action. But if I had whisked her off to the hospital, then every time I went into that village, they were going to be handing me all their sick babies, hoping that I would whisk their babies off to the hospital too and save them. And then it would become the savior complex. So every situation is very critically different, but it is learning to hear the voice of the Lord. You know, it says my sheep will know my voice when I call them, and it's learning to just listen. I make lots of mistakes, obviously. You don't do this kind of work without making lots of mistakes. But at the same time, I have learned to just be extra in tune with that inner small voice of the Lord. And so when I come home to America, I'm still in that mode, just being very aware, and my antenna is up to what God is trying to say for each situation in front of me, and just guiding and leading.
Yeah. And it's that you also learning that small voice, you know, you've taken time in your day to prepare you for those moments, you know, when God in a stressful situation where you have to make an immediate decision, you hear God's voice because you have spent time with him outside of that stressful situation. And so if you'd like to learn more about kind of Rebecca's steps of hearing God's voice and what she's used as a guide, you can go to Inspired to Live an Extraordinary Life, Even Through Difficult Circumstances. I'll have a link in the show notes. It's her second book, but chapter 12 specifically talks about hearing the voice of the Lord. And I mean, everything that both Rebecca and I do to almost like practice. And it's really abiding, like you talked about in John 15, you know, abiding in God, relying on him with the little things so that we can rely on him when the big things come. And we're really recognizing his voice and developing that trust in him. Like, who are you, God? What do you say about me? I trust you. I trust you with everything.
And I think a big lesson I've learned is not walking in the emotion, making decisions out of emotion, but giving God the chance to speak and to guide, and not to be constantly only making decisions through emotion. So when I'm emotional about something that's happening in front of me, I pull myself back and I say, Lord, what do you want to do in this? What is our part to do in this? And so it's compartmentalizing really the emotion of it all that's right in front of us that is really critical. And it allows the Holy Spirit to be a part of speaking to our hearts about. Now, obviously, if there's a car accident in front of us, we're going to get in there immediately to try to help, you know, whatever. That those are different. Those are emergency crisis things that you're just going to be Jesus at that moment. But then there's other things that, like you said, in the moment when there's these gaping wounds in front of us or a life-threatening situation, and sometimes we're not to touch it in the way that we want to touch it. And the Lord, we need to hear those, the voice of the Lord for those things. Or even, like you said, volunteering at church. I'm all about volunteering at church. I love it. I'm a greeter at my church, and I try to greet as much as I can when I'm home and just be a part of people's lives. And there's always needs in children's church and different things that there's always opportunity. And it is just listening to the promptings of the Lord of what we are to touch and what we're to not is the critical piece. Yeah.
Well, hope you've all been encouraged today and encouraged to just continue trusting God with your own dreams, talking to him about him, asking him for his timing. Yeah. Because he wants to hear your heart.
Yeah. And with that, I would say the other thing that I always tell people when they're asking, how do you know when it's time to pursue that dream? Is I always say, if you're seeking the Lord, you're not going to miss what God has for you. You're not going to miss walking in that dream. If you're truly seeking after the timing of the Lord and you're seeking the Lord every day, he's not going to allow you to miss it. He's going to wake you up at night if there's something that you need to do. And he is going to guide and lead you as you're listening to the Holy Spirit. You're not going to miss it. So don't think, oh, I think I'm missing it because I'm not doing the right stuff or whatever. And I was telling Deb earlier that I have a daughter that is in her early 30s and she's always wanted to help children, hasn't known what avenue that was going to look like, but it was a dream of hers. And the Lord has just prompted her to get her psychology degree. And so she's in school right now online, and she wants to pursue her master's degree to get her psychology degree. And she just has a peace, and she knows this is exactly what God is wanting her to do. And she's got 3 children at home, but this is something that she can prepare herself for. So there's other avenues that the Lord is in preparation mode for us. You know, for me, I devoured community development books, discipling the nation type books, before this dream even came into existence to open Orphan Relief and Rescue. And it was the Lord just prompting me to prepare myself and my heart. I had no idea what God was going to do with this, but I knew I was to just devour whatever. I was to be in training, basically, during that season of just being in missions, but I didn't know what the future of that was going to look like. And so everything I'm doing now is because I had prepared myself before with all of these community development type trainings that I put myself through because I just loved it. I loved learning all of that stuff. And so, yeah, pursue these things that you love to do, not knowing what God's going to do with it. And in his timing, he doesn't waste anything. There's nothing that he wastes.
Exactly.
All of this. Yeah.
Nothing is wasted. Nothing is wasted. All right. Well, we hope you'll tune in next week.
Thank you for listening to the Voice with Action podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, would you consider sharing or subscribing to this podcast and leave a 5-star review to help us grow? If you want to reach us or help us end child trafficking in West Africa, go to orphanreliefandrescue.org. That's orphanreliefandrescue.org. See you next week.